Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like, I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Phil is here for Deal or No Deal. Phil, you didn't bring your mannequin's head. I'm upset.
No.
There it is. Which one's which?
I know. That mannequin's actually in the building, and somebody genuinely went up to one of the floors in the office and called my name at the mannequin because they saw it over by the window. So that's where the joke comes from. So I decided to take a picture. If I could only train the mannequin to speak, then obviously I could have a stunt double and I could probably like rotate weeks or days off.
Tell me, why is the mannequin, what happens? Why does it exist?
I don't even know, actually. I must find out.
It looks like it's one of those sci-fi movies from the noughties.
Or the actual movie, The Mannequin.
Yeah.
That's kind of what came to mind. That was actually kind of a creepy movie, as creepy as like a mannequin movie can actually be, I guess.
It's the one with Kim Cattrall in it, isn't it?
Yeah, where the guy falls in love with a mannequin.
I haven't quite fallen in love with that mannequin just yet, unless I said it can cover days for me in work.
But nothing wrong with a bit of self-love, Phil. Nothing wrong with a bit of self-love. And we're now down a wormhole that none of us expected on this week's today's edition of Deal or No Deal. We're going to get through this quickly. With Jadon Sancho talk stalling, apparently, Manchester United have been linked with a move. This is how it goes. Deal not going, oh, look over here. Look at Borussia Dortmund. Look what we're doing. We have other friends. You're not the only one that we have friendships with. I mean, obviously, yours is the most important. Anyway, sorry. Ousmane Dembele is available on a possible season-long loan deal. The clubs have had informal discussions. Here, listen, will you make it look like we're chatting to Dembele and whatever you want. Yeah, anybody you want us linked with, you go ahead. You tell whoever. That's how this works, right? This is all stuff and nonsense.
Yeah, and there's actually a few similarities in Dembele and Sancho, and the fact that Dortmund signed Dembele for a low enough fee. Within 13 months, they'd sold him to Barcelona. So I think they made nearly 120 million euro profit. So when they saw Barca coming with 130 million, they're like, there you go. This is a guy that played 50 games for Dortmund and they were able to offload him. Unfortunately for Dembele, as talented as he is, he's only played 9 times this season. So his season's been ravaged by injuries. And a guy that quick that suffers from hamstring problems is never a good sign. United did this in the past, obviously, since Alex Ferguson left. They tried to sign these players on loan. You think of the Falcao deal. Didn't work. So have they learnt their lesson? But yeah, it's just a bit, maybe a little bit of a nudge to Sancho to say, yeah, you know, we've got other plans.
And stick the request in there.
Yeah. So, and actually, if you think about Dembele as well, he basically went on strike to get his move from Dortmund. And that's something that hasn't actually really cropped up with Sancho yet, where he seems like a level-headed guy. Obviously, we know he's not too happy in Manchester City, but he hasn't handed in a transfer request. Is that going to be the next twist?
How much of a downgrade would Dembele be instead of Sancho?
Yeah, he would be a downgrade because, as I said, his fitness record is...
If he's fit, say he's fit. Say they get, like, they know we can spool forward. Time is a flat circle. And he plays a full season for Manchester United. How good or bad would that be?
I don't think it'd be a bad thing. And, you know, he doesn't have to play every game. If you're going to play him, if we think that Solskjaer is going to stick with the same formation, which he finished the season with the 4-2-3-1, obviously the season is still ongoing for them. But Dembele can obviously play left or right, probably play on the right. What does that mean for Mason Greenwood? Mason Greenwood's still very young. So it's not as if Mason Greenwood has to play every game. And as we've seen in the last game against Copenhagen, some of the United players looked absolutely shattered. And Solskjaer needs to have options. He can't just pick that same 11 the whole time.
Give me a legitimacy rating for that story.
I think I'm kind of going with your theory from the start, where I think maybe 4 or 5.
Okay. We told everybody yesterday that Chelsea have been spooked by the 90 million valuation put on Kai Havertz by Bayer Leverkusen. The Manchester Evening News, always doing their bit, report that Manchester United are considering hijacking that deal. Another one. Where does Havertz fit in better, at Chelsea or at Manchester United?
Well, I'll just touch on the United formation. We think Chelsea are probably going to go with a 4-3-3, and I've kind of seen Havertz playing in the midfield three, so I think that he'd be more suited to that. But this is the best player Bayer Leverkusen have ever had in their history. That's the opinion of Rudi Völler, who played for Leverkusen. Wasn't a bad player, but he also happens to be the managing director at Leverkusen, and he wants loads of money for him, so obviously he's going to say he's the best. You think of some of the players they've produced down the years. Ballack obviously would be up there. But Havertz is, he's quality. He said he can play in a midfield three. He could play in an attacking three. He did play as a false nine for Leverkusen, but that's obviously not where you would see his long-term future. So I think he'd be more suited to Chelsea, but whoever gets him is getting a quality player.
Okay. Chelsea have apparently also reportedly submitted a £50 million offer for West Ham and England midfielder Declan Rice. Sky Sports report West Ham sources say a bid of £50 million for Rice would be laughed at. They laugh at your £50 million. And that the player is not for sale. Do we believe that Rice is not for sale?
I think he definitely is. And I just think of that story, £50 million would be huge money if it was West Ham and Republic of Ireland midfielder Declan Rice. But obviously he's an England midfielder now, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of people felt Declan Rice decided to play for England after playing for Ireland but not competitively.
So what's his price?
His price, I think 50 is a good price for a guy that can play midfield and central defence.
So you think that's a good price? Are you buying or selling at 50?
I think if you're selling, you're trying to get more of it.
How much?
It may be 60.
So West Ham, do you realistically think West Ham would take 60 million this season for? I mean, what a crazy market! 60 million for Declan Rice. Is that what you think West Ham would sell at, or do they just keep sitting there and going, well, look at all? I mean, Harry Maguire, he's 80 million. Why is this kid less than that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a theory to that, but obviously it goes back to what we speak about often: is that Manchester United always pay over the odds. So This is Chelsea. This is a guy that played youth team with Chelsea, obviously, you know, very good friends with Mason Mount.
And John Terry.
Yeah, so it'd be a good signing for Chelsea. I mean, as I said, you could play him in midfield. You could also play him in central defence, and they need defenders. So it certainly strengthened the Chelsea team. But
give me a legitimacy rating on whether or not Declan Rice is still there on the first day after this transfer window closes.
I think he's going to be at West Ham, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
So he's not really for sale.
I mean, I don't think so. I think there's no harm in testing, and maybe this is something that can be done later in a different transfer window. It's basically just throwing it out there, getting the feelers out there to see, you know, what will it take to get Declan Rice. But if David Moyes has kept them up and basically needs to be able to build his own team, Declan Rice is part of that. And it was him that started giving Declan Rice game time when in his first stint as manager, David Moyes. So
okay, let's move on. Bayern Munich chief executive Karl-Heinz Rummenigge says that the club is willing to work with any parties who are willing to make fair offers for 29-year-old Spanish midfielder Thiago Alcantara. Liverpool have obviously been linked with him. It is reported that Alcantara wants out and that Liverpool is his preferred destination. It's one of those like love triangles where everybody gets on with it and is actually quite happy about the fact that everybody's getting a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great signing for Liverpool because he's 29. Obviously, they have a theory or they have a strategy that they don't want to be signing players that old, but at the moment they haven't brought up the contract negotiations with Gini Wijnaldum, who's been an exceptional player for Liverpool and a fan favourite, you know, a regular starter. He's 29. So does that suggest that they're not going to offer Wijnaldum a new deal? He's got 1 year left. So are they going to say, do you know what, you can go this summer or you can see out your contract? Maybe they sell Wijnaldum this summer and then they bring in Thiago, who gives them a different option. Because at the moment with the Liverpool midfield three, the tends to be Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum. And basically the way they play is get you the ball back as quick as possible, give it to the fullbacks, give it to the front three. That's all well and good when you don't have the ball. But when you do have the ball, like Liverpool do in a lot of games, sometimes you need a creative spark. Now, Naby Keita was meant to be that. We've seen glimpses. But with Thiago, he's a different player to Keita where, you know, he can see that pass. Keita is a guy that can break lines with dribbling and obviously has the creativity with passes as well. But Thiago would certainly give them an extra dimension, I think. And I don't know many Liverpool fans who wouldn't want Thiago in the starting 11 or certainly in the squad.
To swap him out with Gini, though?
That's a tough one. That's a bit of a conundrum because he is a fan favourite and, you know, he's had a brilliant career. I even remember when Keita signed, the general feeling some people thought was that's the end for Wijnaldum, and he's come up with some big goals, but he's just one of those like dogged players that doesn't give the ball away.
Answer me, Phil. Happy to swap him out? Yes, you know, or no? You can only have one.
I feel dirty, but I think I would say, yeah, get Thiago in.
Come hither eyes at Thiago, yeah. That's what you're doing there.
And unfortunately, with Wijnaldum going, then you lose that great chant that the fans have about him.
Now the world knows how Mrs. Egan feels. Spurs have signed midfielder Pierre-Emerick Højbjerg on a 5-year deal from Southampton. What impact will he make?
He'll make the impact Jose wants. This is a ball winner. This is a guy that will add a bit of bite into midfield. Obviously, the Ndombele deal hasn't really worked out. But you look at some of the midfielders that have Harry Winks, Oliver Skip, I know is still quite young, Fernandez, they're ball players. Højbjerg can play a bit of ball, but he is, the stats show in the Premier League, he's one of the best ball getters or ball winners in midfield.
50 million quid for that's not bad business at all. Yeah. A reminder, OTBM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Do you have any, this is a one-word answer I'm looking for, do you have any hope left in Jose Spurs?
No.
The Spurs fans do. That's funny. You talk to the Spurs fans and they're all delighted. It's like, oh no, it's too early. He's just had this not enough time. Wait and see. Harry Kane. The Mirror reports that Gareth Bale has no interest in leaving Madrid and will see out the final 2 years of what they say is 600 grand a week. It can't be 600, can it?
It is, but you know what I think?
It can't be 600 grand a week.
Yeah, I think
what
they do.
What are we talking about? There's no way he's leaving.
But you know what they do? I think from, if somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with Bale or maybe Real Madrid that he gets a payment twice a year. That's the way they do it.
Oh, it's like a Brinks lorry.
Like you go to your available funds and then you check on it the next day and wow, that is a whopper bank balance you've got.
Do you remember the story of, was it JP at the time, the Rory McIlroy's caddy, after they'd won the end of season thing? So it was obviously £1 million had landed in his bank account after 1 week and he's like, wow. Gareth Bale's getting 2.4 million a month times six. Six twos is 12, six fours is 24. That's 14.5 million. Not in your bank account one day, the next day you look in, it's 14.5 million. You win the lottery twice a year.
Yeah.
Literally, you win the lottery. And people are saying you should give this up. You play golf and you win the lottery twice a year and you don't even have to work for it. I mean, look, I get Graham Souness's point, but like...
No, I think I definitely get Graham Souness's point.
Would you work if you won the lottery twice a year, every year for 4 or 5 years?
Like,
go to work, Phil.
He's won... Well, look, I'm
you said if you could get a mannequin to read sports news for you, you wouldn't go to work.
Yeah, but I don't know about that, but if you think about what he's won, right, he's obviously won 4 Champions League titles, 2 La Liga titles since he's gone to Real Madrid, but he's playing less and less a part now. He obviously came off the bench in the 2018 final, scores a couple of goals. You think back to when his first season at Real Madrid, he scored that brilliant goal in the Copa del Rey final against Barcelona where he was off the pitch and he came back on, he scored. It was a brilliant goal. Scores in the Champions League final against Atletico. So, he started well, but yeah, are we going to be reading an interview with Gareth Bale in 15 years where he said, yeah, I regret that I didn't get out when I could or I didn't push myself? Or
I think that like if you're Real Madrid, you should definitely look at cutting your losses and give him half a lottery win twice a year and get somebody else to pick up the rest of the wages and let him go and play football and everybody's happy. Like, there's definitely a way out of
this.
Who
wants him, though? Like, Premier League club wouldn't want him.
I think they would.
Would they?
I think that if you could add him to Manchester United, you could add him to Chelsea, you could add him to Spurs. I think you could add him as at Liverpool and he would be brilliant. He would be absolutely sensational. He's got all of the athletic gifts that you need to be a part of that team. and he doesn't have to play. He plays 25 games a season, and you have insurance against somebody leaving in the next while. Liverpool at the end of my list there. Arsenal would absolutely take him. And like
former Spurs players joins Arsenal
for Mesut Ozil money. Like, would you rather have Mesut Ozil sitting on the bench, or would you rather have Gareth Bale playing? Right, last one for now. Premier League survivors Aston Villa are being linked with a move for Brentford striker Ollie Watkins and everybody at Brentford, basically. Is he good? Is he a good fit for Villa? And how do you expect the club to fare in their second season in the top flight?
Well, Villa don't score enough goals. Ollie Watkins scored 25 goals in the Championship, 26 if you include the one in the playoff semi-final. So the guy can score goals. Part of that BMW, as it was known, where Benrahma and Mbeumo and Watkins and brilliant. Benrahma, actually, for me, would be he's the most impressive of the three. But obviously, Watkins is the one that scores all the goals. Dean Smith signed them for Brentford. So this is a deal, I think, that could get done. And, you know, when you think of the goals that they didn't score, obviously, Wesley got injured, Samata didn't really do it for Villa either. So they need goals. I think if they get goals, I still firmly believe Jack Grealish is going to be at Villa next season.
Right.
So I think they'll be all right. I think they'll...
I think there's a good chance too. I think everybody got a little bit frightened by his off-field antics, and that makes him stay at Villa for one more year, calm down, play for England and get the move next year.
And if Villa are after a better outfit, then obviously that does his international career a lot more good as well. If he's not playing in a relegation battle, they're even mid-table, winning games where he's creating goals and scoring goals, that can only be a good thing for him as well.
Good stuff, Phil. That is it for Deal or No Deal today.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like, I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.